This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The United Nations Convention Against Corruption seems commonsensical. Recently gathering in Atlanta, Georgia, many nations came to celebrate advances against corruption. However, we welcome Lane Dazensky, Senior Director and Head of the Center on Economic and Financial Power at the FTD, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who spent the time in Atlanta, Georgia, marveling at the demonstration of progress from such as the People's Republic of China, which, if you don't know, is world famous for a construction company that leaves ruin behind its efforts. Elaine, a very good evening to you. When I read your column, two things came to me. How come I hadn't heard of this before? And also, whenever I find the Chinese construction company, I find catastrophe. Good evening to you. What did the gathering forces make of the Chinese construction company?
Evening, John, and thanks for the invitation to join you again. So this was a meeting of more than 3,000 delegates in more than 170 countries that essentially flew under the radar in Atlanta, Georgia. It took place last month, so mid-December. And this is a meeting that takes place every 2 years under the auspices of the UN Office of Drugs and Crime, where they bring together states to discuss the implementation of the UN Convention Against Corruption, which is it's supposed to be a binding convention that requires states to implement certain anti-corruption reforms. So it was interesting to note that there were a number of governments there that had a story to tell about their anti-corruption efforts, but seemed to kind of fly in the face of what we know to be true. And so that was really kind of the basis of what I was writing about, and specifically this adoption of a, let's call it, the Western narrative around human rights, democracy, anti-corruption, some of the core tenets and principles of democracy that are somehow getting warped into a narrative owned by Beijing, or even to some extent owned by the Kremlin. And this is concerning, that we would see this sort of whitewash playing out in the UN. Some may say, well, that's not surprising. There are plenty of problems with the UN. And that's probably true. On the other hand, there's been, you know, a 30-year history of trying to build up a convention against corruption, and a lot of time and effort put into that, a lot of U.S. leadership. But I think what we're seeing now is the erosion of that work in a pretty fundamental way. And it really came to light during a conversation that the Chinese delegation sponsored on their Belt and Road Initiative. And that's something we've talked about and I've written about in terms of the massive amount of corruption that has taken place in this global infrastructure initiative of Beijing. And the conversation was essentially a whitewash of that, talking about the principles of integrity and the public engagement, and that no penny of this BRI investment would be wasted. And I mean, it went on and on for more than an hour. But perhaps what was most concerning about it was the head of the UNODC showing up at this event and essentially giving a blessing to the initiative. So we can unpack all of that. But it's really a challenge when this whitewash goes undetected, where it's not questioned or challenged. It really flies in the face of what we've been trying to build, I think, as a nation. And yet this erosion of these democratic principles are really at the core of it.
We've got some facts here, which the UN doesn't bother with here. They just have chutzpah. There must be a Mandarin word for chutzpah. To have the chief inspector for the China State Construction Engineering Corporation on the stage talking about zero tolerance to corruption. How about the airport and the port you build in Sri Lanka where nobody goes? How about the dam in Ecuador that you built, chief inspector? You built a dam that is now coming apart. The concrete blocks come apart. In addition, yeah, you build it so that you've wrecked the environment. You've wrecked a couple of rivers of Ecuador, which is a deeply troubled country. Now, these facts I know are unkind, but they're not small facts, and they're not secret, Elaine. Everybody knows about them. And yet they're still willing to applaud the chief inspector when he says we have zero tolerance. Yes,
Yes, it's thanks for pointing all that out, because there's so many layers to the problem. It's not just about the narrative, but you're right. It's about exactly what's happening in countries that need infrastructure more than ever and have unfortunately succumbed to some pretty bad deals and some bad construction in the process. Corruption being kind of the underlying frame, right, that makes it all happen, that greases all the skids. But you're right. And it's also reflective of how the BRI works. So, you know, companies are Chinese owned companies are out in the world doing these deals, making investments. And there's in some ways a lack of oversight coming from Beijing. And so the rules of operation in these countries actually look a lot like what happens in China around major construction problems. There's a huge corruption challenge there as well. So it's almost like the export of these norms, if you will. But then layering on top of that, this narrative that, you know, is sort of this warm and fuzzy, we're all about integrity. Well, we're 10 years into the Belt and Road Initiative. Where was the integrity at the outset? It was a very deliberate decision, I think, not to go towards supporting rules and norms around anti-corruption at the outset. So to come back and lay it on, you know, 10 years into the program is more than disingenuous. But this is the kind of thing that we just need to call out for what it is.
And the UN officials supervising this, they were happy with the Chinese presentation? No one spoke in any fashion about the facts of the matter? It just went, the week was serene.
That's correct. There was absolutely no pushback around this until one of the sessions in which I participated, which, by the way, was on the last day of the week at the last possible time slot, where we had a panel where a number of civil society organizations talked about reclaiming stolen assets from the Maduro regime. There was some discussion about China's Belt and Road projects in certain countries in East Asia. And of course, these are very brave people who were willing to come to the UN to talk about it. But again, the positioning of this final conversation at the end of the day, at the end of the week, was somewhat telling. And then to see the head of the UNODC, who I'm sure is a lovely person, but show up at the Belt and Road discussion with these Chinese actors and not to take the opportunity to say, you can do better, means that there's really a lack of conversation around what matters and what's really happening in the world.
The Chinese delegation handed out little red boxes. Did you get one? What was in the little red box?
I'm not sure because they only went out to the speakers. So no, I did not get one. Maybe it was a piece of candy. I'm not sure. It just looks odd to be handing out gifts at an anti-corruption event.
Elaine Dzensky for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Oh, by the way, Beijing assures us that 97.4% of the Chinese people are satisfied with the fight against corruption. This from a country that just reported the lids on its ICBM silos do not always open. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.